The late Myron Wood was one of the most prolific photographers of the Pikes Peak region and Southwest during the 20th century. Though he himself never achieved the degree of fame that his talents might merit, students of his, such as Robert Adams, gained renown in the New Landscape movement. In advance of the upcoming exhibition, Eloquent Objects, Georgia O'Keeffe and Still Life Art in New Mexico, set to open in late June at the Colorado Springs Fine Arts Center. The Fine Arts Center mounted an exhibition of Myron Wood's photographs of Georgia O'Keeffe in her Abiquiu, New Mexico studio, taken between 1979 and 1981. KRCC's Noel Black spoke to FAC curator Blake Miltier about the exhibition and Wood's legacy in the region.
First off, if you would talk about who Myron Wood was and why he's so significant to Colorado Springs and the Southwest as a photographer.
I think the most important thing to know about Myron Wood is that he was photographing and creating his most significant body of work at a time when photographic artists were still working on getting sort of universal recognition of photography as a fine art. Myron Wood's photographs really kind of straddled this line between documentary, you know, what we expect from a photograph, and fine art. And I think where you can really see his work tipping very distinctly into that fine art territory is in the body of work that he did around Georgia O'Keeffe and her homes in Abiquiu and Ghost Ranch in New Mexico.
I'd like you to say a little bit more, if you could, about his overall career, because he was a paid documentarian. And also, you know, it seems like he pushed most of his documentary work into a pretty spectacular place once he kind of got rolling with things.
I think there was a very distinct vision to Myron Wood's work. Mark Arnest has described him as the chronicler of this region. That sort of speaks to the documentary aspect of his work. And the fact that as a Colorado Springs-based photographer, he was in the 20th century photographing around the Rocky Mountain region in the Southwest in a very intensive way. Well, in terms of the way that his vision sort of tips into fine art work, I think that you can see not only in the sort of specificity of his compositions, the real skill involved in his printing and his darkroom work. And it's important to note that that's one of the ways that photographers really started to drive home that, this medium could be fine art is in the way that they would really control the negative, right? They would pre-visualize the photograph before ever pushing the shutter on the camera, then control the negative to specific ends. Then in the dark room, control the print to specific ends. And Myron Wood was so good at that. And he came from an amazing lineage of photographers. You know, he was a protege to Laura Gilpin, who really not only as a photographer in this region also chronicled many, many aspects of this place, from the landscape to the people to the culture of Colorado Springs, cultures of the Southwest, but really drove the early years of modern photography in the early 20th century, right alongside folks like Ansel Adams, Edward Weston. Ansel Adams called her the First Lady of the Lens. And here she was, right here. And had her studios at the Broadmoor Art Academy and the Fine Arts Center. She was on the board of the Fine Arts Center. She taught Myron Wood a whole lot of what he adopted into his own photography. And he then taught folks like Robert Adams, a whole generation of photographers, fine art photographers, has been influenced by Robert Adams. So while Myron Wood remained of more or less sort of regional renown, his influence has spread outward. And to this day, I think you can see his influence in photographers who are still working and thriving here locally, teaching. Carol Das is an amazing photographer. Barbara Sparks is working vigorously here locally, has a brand new book out about Taos, fantastic stuff. And so it's in these ripples that I think you see the essence of a vision.
The Myron Wood photographs that are on display now at the Fine Arts Center are a sort of prelude to the Georgia O'Keeffe and the Painters of the Southwest exhibition that's coming. How did you put this show together? Was it an opportunity to showcase Myron's work, or was it just kind of trying to get the pump primed for the O'Keeffe show?
Both. But when in any exhibition we do, what I want to happen more intensively than anything else is for you to come in and really be encouraged, inspired to spend the time with that artist and their work. So right now, Myron Wood up on the walls, I want you to go in and really immerse in these photographs. And I think they ask for it. I think they welcome it. I think some of them demand it. And you'll really find great rewards when you do.
Why do you say that you feel like this, that particular body of work is really where he elevated his photography to an art form? Like, what is it about that body that you think distinguishes itself from his other work?
I think there are multiple layers of reasoning for that. One is his experience with O'Keeffe herself. He first encountered her in the late 1950s when he went down there to thank her for a volume of her late husband Alfred Stieglitz's camera work that she had given to the Fine Arts Center. He didn't get another chance to see her until the late 70s, when he'd gone down to Abiquiu again, under the auspices of working for the Pueblo Public Library, which he was creating a sort of volume of photographs of the West and Southwest. And he started spending time down there over the next couple of years. O'Keeffe herself was not an easy person. You hear story after story of folks, including Myron Wood on his first visit, who would go down, ask for her time, ask for her attention, and get none, or very little. I think he got a few sentences in on his first visit. And as I've learned, as you can imagine with many celebrities today, that was her then, right? In the late 20th century, she was a celebrity. People made pilgrimages to go see her and would just show up. And so you have to imagine that this would grow kind of old, kind of tiresome after a while. And I think she was a private person. And so I think that was part of the language when he did ultimately get access, was still part of the language of his presence there. He did get her time. He did get her attention. He did photograph her personally, and you see that in some of the photographs in the show. But most of the photographs in which he made, sometimes when she was there, sometimes when she wasn't, most of the photographs are of the house and the gardens and at Ghost Ranch, some of the landscape that informed her photographs. Well, here's another interesting layer, and I think really speaks through his photographs. When you see O'Keeffe's house, especially the house at Abiquiu, which is the only one you can go into currently, you see the home of a modernist, right? A lot of people tend not to think of O'Keeffe that way. They think of beautiful landscapes, beautiful flowers, but she was a quintessentially modern artist, in which she, in her work, was taking things that she experienced in the real world and teasing out the essence of those things. So if you hold up one of her photographs next to the actual landscape that it represents, it may not look too terribly much like that landscape. Recognizable for sure, but she's finding those essential, those universal elements in that landscape. And that's what a big component of modern art was about, right? Teasing out the elemental, teasing out the essence. He does that in his photographs of her home. Now, granted, she had already sort of surrounded herself with this amazingly beautiful simplicity. And you walk around her house, and everything seems so deliberately placed. There's breathing room around every piece of furniture, every object. There's not much on the walls at all. I think the only paintings on the wall may be in her studio. And you see one of those in the photographs. And it was so deliberate, her fashioning of this house. And you can see that come through in his photographs. He's chosen these amazing moments in his time there, these passages, these corners in her house in which, you know, you might just see this beautiful shaft of light coming through onto a blank wall. Or you might see an adobe wall with just a stone on a surface in front of it. You might see a view of the garden that frankly doesn't give you too much detailed information about the garden. It's about a feeling of the garden. And when you think about that in terms of photographs and the way photographs communicate and the way we expect them to communicate even today, you know, we want the detail, we want the information, we want the truth, right? Well, in these photographs that Myron Wood made at her place, they're often a suggestion of something, just like her paintings were a suggestion of their subjects.
What were Myron's intentions in going down to photograph Georgia O'Keeffe? One of the things that, you know, if you look at his extensive body of documentary work, he seems to have enjoyed taking photographs possibly more than he did printing or trying to exhibit, which happens to, I think, a lot of Colorado Springs artists in general. Is there's a sense of, you know, this is a great place to make art. It isn't necessarily the best place to have a career in art. Was Myron making an attempt to kind of leverage this work into some more renown, or was it just another day of snapping photographs for him?
Well, there is a book of the photographs that was printed in the mid-1990s. And so at the very least, I think there was that intent to get them out into the world as a body of work. He did an introduction in the book in which he talked about his experience there. And that's one of the ways that we most frequently experience photographs. Well, did experience photographs
in books.
In book form, right? Where you can put it on a table, you can turn those pages. You know what I love to do is I like to have one of those great books of art or books of photography, put it out on the table and turn a page a day. And he knew that. He knew that phenomenon. I think that was a way for folks to live with those photographs all over the world, conceivably. I mean, it's amazing. You go around Colorado Springs and a large percentage of the households here have a Myron Wood photograph or more than one Myron Wood photograph. And so he really became part of the language of Colorado, the visual language of Colorado Springs. But putting those images so deliberately in a book where he most certainly would have chosen the sequence and getting that out into the world was an important thing to do.
What effect did those photographs have on Myron's career? Obviously, you know, he remains still primarily a regional photographer, despite his influence on people like Robert Adams. But did that change how he was seen in terms of the history of photography?
I don't know as it had or has had yet a dramatic effect on his perception. If you're taking a photography class, you know, I don't know, in Baltimore, where I took photography classes in college, I never heard his name. It never came up. However, I think what we're going to find, as with many artists, is that as we look more deeply, right, as all the scholarship is out there on your Ansel Adams, your Edward Westons, even your Laura Gilpins, what we're going to find is then you dig deeper. And that's where you're going to encounter folks like Myron Wood and the quality of their work and the intensity of their vision in many cases. And one of the things that we're going to find about Myron Wood outside this community is that he was one of the few photographers that O'Keeffe even let in. Right? There are relatively few photographs out there of her, about her. There are, of course, the Alfred Stieglitz photographs. There's some Todd Webb photographs. Ansel Adams. In fact, Ansel Adams and Stieglitz were the only photographers who she allowed to photograph her while she was working. So he'll be among those very few who contributed something to our understanding of her life and her surroundings.
When you look at perhaps the posthumous career of Vivian Maier, for example, and you look at someone like Myron or maybe John Suhey down in Pueblo, how does he compare? Do you think that he needs to have scholarship around him in order for his work to be more widely known, because so much of it is owned essentially by two library districts in the Pikes Peak region? Or is he always going to be sort of an A-lister, but not necessarily a star?
Well, that's a good question. I think, first of all, it's an amazing thing that his work is owned by two library districts, because that guarantees accessibility. I think what will be required of Myron Wood's work is, yes, some deeper scholarship, some deeper looks into his life, some really good quality publications of his work getting out there into the world. And I think if it does, if somebody can endeavor to do that, I think you'll start to see some heads turning in his direction.
Just to sort of finish, talk a little bit about the upcoming exhibition, the George O'Keeffe. It's the Eloquent Object.
Yep. The show coming up is Eloquent Objects, George O'Keeffe and Still Life Art in New Mexico. One of the most amazing things about this exhibition is that it does incorporate 12 O'Keeffes. We'll have 12 O'Keeffes in our building at the Fine Arts Center. And that's the first time that's happened in the history of the Fine Arts Center. More than that, knowing the art world, it may never be the case again in which the Fine Arts Center has 12 O'Keeffes in the building. But what I think is going to be one of the most engaging and entertaining aspects of this show is seeing the work that she was creating. Yeah, all those iconic images, the landscapes from New Mexico, the still lifes, the flowers, all of which she considered at times to be sort of the nature of still life. And we'll get to see those in combination with many other artists who were working contemporaneously with O'Keeffe, also in New Mexico. So we're going to get to see their visions right next to hers. And a couple of those photographers, like Andrew Dosberg, Ward Lockwood, had direct connections to Colorado Springs and specifically the Fine Arts Center. And if you come to the Fine Arts Center now and eat in the Cafe Taste, you're going to see some murals up on the walls by Dosberg and Lockwood. So those artists had a direct thread between New Mexico and Colorado Springs. And so we're going to see all of these ties. You know, one of the things we're going to also have out during that time from our own collection will be, of course, our own George O'Keeffe. We always have many of these other artists out from our own collection. So you're going to be able to contextualize this package show with what we have right here every day. And, you know, we'll have out examples of those camera work volumes that O'Keeffe gave to the Fine Arts Center in the 1950s, and some letters that she wrote to the then director. And so it's going to be a really beautifully layered experience for anyone who comes in.
Blake Miltier, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Noel.
That was KRCC's Noel Black speaking with Blake Miltier, Museum Director and American Art Curator at the Colorado Springs Fine Arts Center. The exhibition, Myron Wood's Portraits of Georgia O'Keeffe, which features photographs of Georgia O'Keeffe in her Abiquiú, New Mexico studio, taken by the late Myron Wood, will be on display at the Fine Arts Center through June 7th. The Fine Arts Center's upcoming Georgia O'Keeffe exhibition opens June 27th. For more information, head to krcc.org. This is The Big Something. We'll be right back.